and you are listening to the Texas Standard. Last week, September 1st, hundreds of new laws took effect in Texas, and a number of those were aimed at improving the state's child welfare system. This was not an option for Texas. You might recall that back in December of 2015, after a wave of published reports about Texas kids dying from neglect and abuse while in foster care, U.S. District Judge Janice Graham Jack found the state's foster care system unconstitutional, deeming it broken. Fast forward to May of 2017. That's when Governor Greg Abbott signed a number of bills to overhaul that system.
So I think the judge should be pleased that Texas did our constitutional and legal duty on our own to implement landmark legislation that will completely transform the system in ways that will make it better, and that the case should be dismissed.
Spoiler alert, the case hasn't been dismissed, but one of the major changes to the foster care system that lawmakers got behind this session was already in the works long before Texas was sued in 2011. It's called Foster Care Redesign, and now that Senate Bill 11 has taken effect, this is a model of providing care that's going to start rolling out across the state. But when we say model, that's a little misleading, perhaps, because it's not one size fits all, that's for sure. Casey Tassetta is with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. She's been working on foster care redesign for the state, and she's the agency's Director of Conservatorship Services. Welcome to The Standard.
Thank you very much.
Let's turn back the clock a
sure.
bit. Foster care redesign, I mentioned, has actually got started before 2011. What specifically did they set out to try to solve?
What we were trying to accomplish with foster care redesign, and what we still are, is looking at ways to create sustainable placement resources and services in communities. So moving from a statewide foster care model to one that is community-based, that can take advantage of the strengths of each particular community in Texas, since it's so big, build off of those strengths, and have a real targeted local approach to providing foster care and services.
Was this about having a new, better baseline, or was this just about having a baseline that worked?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we had already been working on reform and different initiatives, and we built off of those initiatives. One of the things that our commissioner at the time was really looking to affect was the fact that we have so many children that are placed in other parts of the state than where they're removed from.
So we're not dealing with an actual case, but you'd have a situation where a child was taken out of removed from a house in Dallas, for example. Okay. And that child might wind his or her way to El Paso or something? Is that what was going on? Or
yes, sir, at times.
Really? And is it just that there aren't enough foster families ready to take care of these kids, or is there something else going on?
It's not necessarily about having just open beds or open homes. It's having the right types of services that support those homes, too. We were looking for a model that would help to support making sure that communities had the right services in place so that when children are removed from their homes, we can keep them in the same school, keep them placed with their siblings, with their friends, and all their positive support systems while we work with their families to try to reunify them.
So in the process of trying to rethink how to do this, and it's happening in real time, you still have to take care of the kids that
That's
are
right.
coming through the system. What were the takeaways for you?
We had somewhat of a siloed system. We were taking care of children out of one system and parents out of another. Some of that was coming, I think, through the way that we were purchasing services. We would let these large statewide procurements and open enrollment processes, but there wasn't a set designated geographic area, you know, so we ended up having places in the state where there are pockets of providers, and then in other parts of the state, we don't have as many foster care providers.
When you say providers, what do you mean?
I am talking about either child placing agencies that provide foster homes, residential treatment centers that serve children that have special needs. We also have general residential operations that are more like your emergency shelters, some of your cottage communities that a lot of people are familiar with.
So now you're taking, basically, you're having to rethink the agency, which was at one time looking at its budget, thinking about what we can afford to do, finding those contractors who could pay for it, and then sending the kids to wherever that service was provided.
Yes, sir.
Now you're thinking about lots of different pockets, each having to provide, full service to these kids.
Yes, sir. And that was one of the things that we heard back from our providers and other stakeholders was if we would contract as the state with a single entity in a designated area of the state for the full continuum of foster care services.
That sounds like a whole lot of work and a lot of duplicated effort, too, potentially.
Well, I think it takes the state out of having to manage 300 contracts or over 300 contracts, which is what we're doing now, and allows us to focus in on contracting with what we're calling single source continuum contractors. That contractor is responsible for developing the foster care system and the foster care network of services that best meets the needs of children from their area. You used the example of Dallas to El Paso earlier.
Right.
Two very different communities. By moving to a community-based foster care system, we're allowing and working with a provider to develop the system in the best way possible to meet that local
need. Is it going to be more expensive, though?
I believe that in some cases, it's a shift of the resources that we're already utilizing. There are some things that we are purchasing in foster care redesign or community-based care that we hadn't purchased before. The legislature was very good to us in providing resources. But then on another major change with community-based care is we moved to performance-based contracting. Mm-hmm. We outlined the outcomes we expect for children and families served by this contractor within the community. And so we're holding them accountable for reaching those outcomes.
So if you look across Texas right now, how many regions are we really talking about currently exist to serve kids in Texas?
Our regional structure today is 11 regions.
11 regions.
Yes, sir. We have developed a map. We call them catchment areas for community-based care, and there are 17 of those areas across the state.
So presumably you're going to be moving from this 11 expanding to 17. That further breaks down those regions?
Sort of. Presumably, if we rolled this model all across the state, there would be 17 different contracts as it stands right now.
That's the voice of Casey Tissetta with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services talking about foster care redesign as it stands. So far, there's just one area in the state that's been operating under this new foster care model. The Texas Standard's Becky Fogel is going to have more on that right after the Texas Roundup, which is just around the corner. We are approaching 29 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. Stay with us.